Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I am your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. And before we bring tonight's guest on board, a couple of public service announcements. I had the great honor and fortune to be invited as a guest on Drew Raine's A Marine's Disquisition radio show, which is heard around the world. I was on there for 2 hours early this evening, and we had a fabulous discussion about what is going on in the world. There may be some PSYOPs stories going around in regard to Korea, or it could very likely be just as we described it. We're going to talk about that issue a little bit on tonight's show with our guest. And there's a lot of interesting things going on with the world of finance. Now, we're hearing that the economy has taken a complete dump, and I think dump is not one of the seven words. So, and at this hour, we can say about anything we want on the show, but we're going to keep it clean in case there are some kids listening. And we would do that anyway for the adults. The issues we talked about were what Americans must do. People have to start waking up. There are so many different dimensions affecting what's going on this planet right now, and human consciousness has been basically herded into a corral over the past 60 or 70 years with the advent of television and the upgrading of radio, and now with the internet and the electronic media that we have. And everything is an attempt to compromise your thinking and your natural gifts to basically cripple you or paralyze you spiritually so that you can't discern what's going on. And we bring up the topics we bring up on the show for the mere purpose of discussing intelligently what may or may not be happening, something that you are not going to hear on the mainstream media. They put out the stories that lead you to that corral that I was speaking about. And these days, the corral resembles a pigsty. So think about what a pigsty looks like. You can smell a pigsty from miles away. It's not a happy place for a human to be, unless you're a pig farmer or a pig rancher, or if you're a pig. they're certainly happy in their environment, at least they seem to be, and somehow we accept similar, comparable circumstances within our own lives. What is going on in Korea is a potential for the onset of another war, and this one would be nuclear. Now, these bits of information that are coming out, and so happened that Drew Raines and I and Greg Evenson all had information that came from different sources in a very short amount of time, but these are people that are paying attention to what's going on. And it could be just posturing. It could be an attempt to blackmail China. There may have been an infusion of capital into the treasury that you may be hearing about in the coming days and weeks. How we hear about it may have something to do with what is actually being done with it. I wonder if this money, and it's an enormous sum of money, if it's going to reach the community or if it's going into the pockets of the criminals that have been stealing it all along. We're all in agreement to that. In fact, when you add that dimension to what might be happening in another country. I remind the listening audience that several times on this show, as well as on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty News Radio, Oracle Broadcasting, American Voice Radio, and some other shows, I've talked about this financial corruption and shown how all the things that we see going on are related to an insatiable greed of a handful of people that want to rule the planet. They're power hungry, they're greedy, they're psychopathic, they lie at every turn, and we can't expect to hear the truth from them. But I'm telling you things now that you're not going to hear on the mainstream media. But pay attention, because this information is important. It has to do with whether this country survives. It has to do with whether or not these criminals are going to be brought down for their crimes, and there's no other solution. We can't play the game that they're playing. It's their game, and we're going to talk about some of the madness tonight. But we're also going to talk about things that people should be doing. Tonight is going to be another wake up call. Now, before we bring on tonight's guest, I also want to announce that I will be subbing for talk show host Michael Herzog's The American Awakening radio show on OracleBroadcasting.com tomorrow. Now, I'll give you the Eastern and Western times, or Pacific times, and you can figure out your time if you're in the middle. Subtract an hour from the East Coast if you're in the Central time zone. Subtract 2 hours. Or add 1 hour if you're in the mountain time zone. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., I will be guest hosting Michael's show, and my guests will be Drew Raines and Greg Evenson. You don't want to miss those shows, or that show, on the basis of what we discussed today and what we'll be discussing tomorrow. Drew and I will be guests also on Republic Broadcasting for Greg Evenson's last show. And that airs from 1 to 3 Eastern. And I said I was going to give the Pacific times out. I don't think I did on the other show. So 1 to 3 Eastern, I will be on the Voices from the Heartland show on republicbroadcasting.org. And that's Greg Evenson's show. I'll be there with Drew Raines. Drew is an ex-Marine, and he does the kind of work I do, the kind of research I do. He's got contacts worldwide in the military, and it was amazing to hear how many people were either calling or text messaging Drew during the show to share their information, and basically they were supporting what we were saying. They're saying we were hitting the nail right on the head. What we're talking about is actually occurring. Now, whether these things will transpire to full-scale war, we don't know. We're dealing with people who are absolutely insane, and they're very frightened that they're losing their grip. And I'll say this right now, on a positive note, they've lost their grip already. They're just trying to cover up the fact that it's happened, and things will change on this planet very soon. That said, the show that I'm on or subbing for Michael Herzog on OracleBroadcasting.com will air from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern, or that is 2 to 4 Pacific. 2 to 4 Pacific. So if you're going to listen to Greg Evenson, it will be 10 to noon Pacific time, or 1 to 3 Eastern. If you're worried about it, go to those websites and just take a peek at their schedules. It's fairly cut and dry. And you can download the player, or you can click right on the screen and listen live. I'm hearing that this show, Evident Footprints, is being heard around the United States on radios. People are listening in the car radios. So I want to thank those micro-broadcasters out there, you know who you are, who are picking up this show, feeling that this is important enough information to get it out to the people. We appreciate that, and we support what you're doing, and we hope you support what we're doing. That said, on this May the 29th on the West Coast, or May the 30th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, it's time to bring our regular Friday night guest on board. He is my co-host. He is our resident science advisor. He is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, our good friend Jim Murray. Jim, welcome again to Evident Footprints.
Yes, Don, it's good to be back. How are you?
Oh, I'm fired up today.
I can see that. That was quite an intro you made.
Well, gotta stay on the edge of your seat when all of this is going on, and I, you know, I get led to this stuff by spirit, and I think we all do in our own way. You were even familiar with this topic to some extent yourself, and what are you hearing about North Korea, if anything at all?
Well, I you know, as you know, some of my information comes out of China, and the stories were very similar. There's a lot of saber rattling and whatnot. The biggest thing, of course, was that the war with North Korea that we fought back in the 50s didn't culminate in a peace treaty. It was actually stopped with an armistice. And according to those who seem to be in the know, when the North Koreans fired off those weapons the other day and made certain announcements, it basically terminated the armistice, which in theory, I guess, is being interpreted that we're right back where we were in 1952. So what I heard was that the present administration was going to nip this in the bud and just go over there and nuke them. But how much truth there is in that, I don't know.
Yeah, that could have been a bluff, let's say, to get China to back off on certain aspects of the financial issues that we've been reporting on ad nauseum. So, you know, this could be political, international blackmail occurring here. And we don't know for sure, but we do know that this clique of criminals, and we're talking about the Bushes and the Clintons and now Obama doing their bidding, is power hungry, and you know, it's time to pay up, and they've stolen so much money that the international community is not going to stand for it anymore. So what can they do? All they can do is threaten to start a war, and it's the same thing Israel's doing. Absolutely the same thing. Now, there's another issue in relation to this, Jim, and I'm not sure if you've heard about this. The earthquakes that are taking place in various parts of the world seem to be related to nuclear weapons that are being exploded inside the earth. Have you heard any reports about that?
No, actually, I haven't heard about that, but I will say that, you know, if they insist on doing things of that sort, they may inadvertently cause more problems than they realize. You know, there are mechanisms in this planet which, once unleashed, can really make this place a holy hell. And I just hope that that's not what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I was reading a piece by Z.S. Livingstone, who Ken Adachi has been whose writings Ken Adachi has been posting on Ken's site, and he seems to think that possibly they're trying to get some, let's say, fissures. These are fault line fissures where they're putting these weapons in there and possibly trying to bring oil up, as if there's not enough in the capped wells. You know, it's hard to say. I tend to wonder how valuable that oil is going to be after it's radioactive. I've got some more work to do. In fact, I'm going to try to bring him on the show in this coming month and talk about some of the things that he's aware of. But he's watching this too. See, there are some people who study scientifically what's going on who are noticing anomalies in these earthquakes. Lots of people are being killed in these quakes, and they seem to be exceeding the norm. You know, it would be just fantastic to have one at 7.2 or 7.8, and they're talking about anticipating 9s and 10s and higher. If this occurs, it's going to devastate the whole planet. So, and there has been talk of continent and underwater, and we're talking about the deep ocean waters of the Atlantic and the Pacific, shifts going on where we're going to see land masses appearing in the center of these oceans, and it's going to displace the water. And the first place it's going to hit is the east and the west coast, if that happens. Have you heard anything about that?
No, actually, I have to be honest with you, I haven't. As you know, I've been traveling quite a bit lately and also trying to progress with my own work, so I haven't been plugged in quite as deeply as I usually have. But I will say this with regard to your last comment. You know, Edgar Cayce made the prediction that that very thing would occur. He said it would actually start sometime in the 1980s, but that the process would continue. And he didn't, as far as I know, he didn't have a final date for when the whole situation might be completed. But I've heard from several sources over the years that we are going to see some really massive changes in the topology of the planet, and they're not all going to be good. One of the things that I was involved with about 10 years ago was the possibility that the United States would witness the return of the inland seas. And if that happens, this country will be split right up the middle just about with a new waterway. And that's something to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think we talked about it on one of our shows, Don, that that there are supposed to be ships somewhere, either in Arizona or Colorado, that actually sailed in from the Gulf of Mexico up the inland seas, which were still had some residual amounts of water in them, as recently as 400 years ago, and that every once in a while, some intrepid explorer will come across one of these galleons lodged up in the rocks somewhere and make a big issue out of it. I wish that they would mark the location once and for all. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that if the inland seas had been there in the past, there's nothing stopping them from refilling those basins if the conditions are right. And the other thing, of course, is that there'll be a lot of changes in the way the continents relate to one another.
Mm-hmm.
So if these happen to be brought about by foolhardy utilization of nuclear devices, then I would definitely consider that it's a karmic outcome, and not just a return to the earlier state of the Earth as we view it through history.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Earth is going through her changes, despite what man does, and we certainly have the capacity technologically to blow the whole planet up, and that will not be tolerated by beings from other realms that are watching very carefully what's going on. In fact, that opens the door to allow me to segue into reports of thousands of craft that are suddenly appearing in China in the region of the Himalayas.
Yes, now I did hear about that. interestingly enough. And I found it very, very encouraging that that these crafts would be appearing in that particular region of the world, because there's only a couple of places left on the whole bloody planet that have any real semblance of what you might call a capital of spirituality. And Tibet is probably one of them. There's a couple of others floating around. But I think that that's very interesting that these beings would opt to make their appearance in such a land as opposed to, let's say, Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
which, well, of course, yeah. is the anti-spiritual capital of the world.
Yeah. Now, I would have to say that there's probably, if I use my discernment, there's a mix of people, we'll say, from various other domains from our solar system or from our galaxy, who are paying attention to what's going on. Some have an interest in the dark side of what's going on, and there are counterforces that are interested in the ascending progression of our consciousness here, and we're seeing signs of that. People all around the world are getting some fantastic UFO footage right now. We're not talking about swamp gas. We're not talking about being eaten. I think the ones that would eat us are already here, and they're trying to do that. So, but there's definitely an intergalactic power struggle going on, and Earth is seen as some kind of cosmic prize, we'll say. And it substantiates this. I'll tell you, I've found things on Google Earth to support this as well. I'm not saying I'm seeing craft flying around, but I've seen some rather curious things in places where you wouldn't expect it at all. And, places that are considered to be very primitive or uncivilized parts of the planet where there are bases set up. And these things can be seen on Google Earth if you know how to use it. And I have seen these things. And I know they exist. And I'm not the only one that knows this. So it's worth discussing because while they have our attention on American Idol and Dancing with the Stars and the barrage of endless sports events that are shown on half the channels on television and discussed by the masses as if that's the only important thing on this planet, these things are going on, and the people, the so-called leaders of this planet, don't know what to do about it. They really don't. Their hands are tied. They're caught in their own game of self-gratification and theft and deception and deceit and treason that they could really care less. They're trying to cover their own rear ends right now. But they've got a bigger problem, and it's really partially been at the root of all the other problems. It's just being magnified now, and there may come a very serious power struggle for control of this planet. This is not science fiction that we're talking about here, and I'm sure you would agree.
Oh, I agree full-heartedly. As a matter of fact, I think the struggle has been going on already for quite a while, especially in the spiritual sense. But I think the conflict is about to change into a realistic, what you might call, overt warfare type of thing, because the stresses that have been unleashed as a result of all the chicanery and all of the greed and stupidity have just reached critical levels. And if something doesn't happen, there's certainly going to be very, very negative reprisals.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious to anybody that's been watching this.
Yeah. Well, as usual, we'll probably bounce back to this topic, but I know there were a couple of other things that we decided we would discuss tonight. And you had mentioned to me prior to airtime some legislation that's being passed right now in regard to food. And it's actually hilarious. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It is funny, and yet this is occurring as if we're supposed to take this seriously. And I wonder if you would share that with the listening audience.
Well, sure. And actually, there were a couple of different things that that were legislated recently, which are worthy of note as well. But the ones pertaining to the food were brought to my attention because of the fact that the FDA was coming down on General Mills, of all people, for their advertisements concerning the fact that Cheerios, which is a relatively simple and benign cereal, have a positive effect on reducing the amount of cholesterol in the blood. And the argument is that, of course, no food can have a beneficial result upon the body. Only the use of bona fide, patented drugs can affect health. This is the insanity that everybody has subscribed to. So, they made the dictate that if General Mills insists upon proclaiming that Cheerios are good for you and that they will reduce cholesterol, then they will have to secure a license from the FDA to sell Cheerios. Well, there you have it, folks.
So what you're saying is if I invite you over to breakfast, I have to be willing to make you like an OxyContin omelet and maybe some Viagra spiked toast. And a glass of Benadryl to wash it down. That's what you're saying.
Well, I mean, General Mills is only the first of many. I mean, you know, if this campaign is successful, you know, basically what they are claiming as a result of this, if you read between the lines, is that anything that smacks of true nutrition, which they, of course, cannot patent, is going to be outlawed, and the only things that will be permitted for consumption are all of the non-nutritive food substances which lead to disease, disorder, overweight, and God only knows what else. Those, I'm sure, you won't hear anything negative about.
You know what comes to mind, Jim? You remember the movie Soylent Green with Charlton Heston and Edward G. Robinson?
Yep, I sure do.
And at the end of the movie, they were carting away Charlton Heston. I can't remember if he was strapped down to a gurney or something, but he was screaming out to all the people, "Don't eat the Soylent Green, it's people! Don't eat the Soylent Green!" You remember that? I mean, you're describing something like that, really. I mean, it's that absurd that they're actually following the scripts of these movies. I'm not saying that that's what they're doing, but it might as well be that. That there's just no logic to anything. It's just pure evil.
Well, the real question, Don, is how far do they expect to take this nonsense? If they go unchecked, you know, where are the limits? I mean, they might as well just manufacture and sell pure poison, have people eat it, and then the medical community can have a field day saving as many lives as possible with a variety of surgical and treatment procedures. And for those who don't make it, well, then you've got the spare body parts market, You've got the casket people. You've got the gravediggers unions. I mean, there's so many ways to make us all happy.
Yeah, it's it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I shared with you a short story about a friend of mine that works in the lab where they test all the foods that the restaurants, especially fast food restaurants, are obliged to have tested. And it's at General Mills, actually. And this guy will not let his kids eat the foods from certain restaurants because of the quantity. I guess he described the capacity to measure contaminants in the food or to test its composition down to, I think he said, two parts per billion. And he said there are certain standards of allowing so much rodent hair or rodent claws or whiskers or tails or body parts of whatever happens to get in there. Whatever kind of vermin can get into the food is tolerated. And I had mentioned to you off the air that they likely decide what region they're going to ship this food to just to get their jollies off, you know, to say, well, we didn't lose that food, but, you know, we know where the healthy ones are on the basis. And I can't imagine anybody getting healthy from these fast foods. These people are poisoning everybody, which is why they allow it. I mean, they certainly don't sell fast food on a nutritional basis, do they? It's fun that they sell. Or it's excitement that they sell. I mean, how excited can you get over a hamburger and French fries and a milkshake? Seriously.
Well, I mean, I certainly don't get excited over it. But, you know, I'm so divorced from the norm that maybe I'm not a good yardstick.
Or a thermometer. Just be a thermometer for us, would you? a weather vane. How's that? Just tell us which way the wind's blowing. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. We could do show after show on this, but you have to ask yourself, what would compel somebody like this? You know, is this Monsanto trying to corner their section and the FDA sticking up for the pharmaceutical companies? I mean, what pharmaceutical product is nutritional to the human body? Let's look at that side of the argument, you know?
I mean, that's quite a statement when you stop and think of it, you know? There are millions of different pharmacological compounds. And the irony of it is, by their own admission, every one of them has terrible side effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet, you know, they pass this stuff off as being something that we all want and need. I get a big kick out of the advertisements lately. You know, it's like, oh, you have a runny nose? Take XYZ product. You know, it will cure your runny nose. Possible side effects are, you know, tuberculosis, cancer, swollen scrotum, diarrhea, you know, bleeding tonsils, and God only knows what else, but it'll get rid of that sniffle.
Yeah, and talk to your
doctor.
And
people don't... yeah, talk to your doctor. And people don't seem to find that a little bit peculiar. I mean, the side effects represent disorders that are worse than the one you're supposedly treating.
Yeah, and there's this rash of inventions coming out, pharmaceutical drugs, and I don't know, they're like adult toys they're talking about. Anything and everything to get one's libido a couple of notches above a totem pole. No pun intended. It just came out that way. But And they're showing these. Okay, now you're talking about the FDA going after a cereal manufacturer. Okay, I'm not up on my cereals. I don't remember if Kix is corn. I think it's a corn based or cornmeal based kind of cereal. You know, they're these little donuts, right?
Kix are little puffs, like little...
Yeah, they're little puffs.
Little round like, things.
Yeah, they might be rice puffs or something, or wheat puffs, I don't know.
Well, I think you were right the first time. I think they're corn.
Yeah. The other one that you mentioned, was it Kix that you talked about? Cheerios are like little donuts. They're little O's, yeah.
And then a close relative would be Fruit Loops.
Yes. And now we get into marshmallows. I'm sure are extremely nutritious for you, especially at 6 o'clock in the morning before the school bus comes.
And of course, don't forget Count Chocula, which is a chocolate-based little floating...
Yeah. Actually, I think the marshmallows are from Lucky Charms, but you know what you get the gist of what I'm saying. Oh, they come up with these really interesting names, too, these fortuitous names, you know?
Yeah, like Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the irony of it is, when I was a kid, they had all these weird, you know, cereals. I mean, I'm guilty of having eaten them. One of my favorites was Sugar Pops. But what I've noticed lately is that the stuff is becoming more and more sugary. You know, and my favorite cereal when I was a kid, believe it or not, was Shredded Wheat. My granddad used to eat it, and it used to come in a big rectangular box, and you had these large rafts. I mean, they were really an amazing size of these. They almost looked like steel wool, the way they were shaped.
Brillo pads.
Yeah, like Brillo, you know. And he used to break it up and put it in a bowl and add some milk and fruit. It was really a very good meal. Now they've miniaturized them down to the point where they're like 1/30th of the size they used to sell them at. And, of course, they've got double and triple amounts of sugar coatings on them. And what the advertisements say at this point is that keep your kids stimulated. You know, keep them awake. They will, they will absorb twice as much information from school. Well, of course... Once they've had a hearty breakfast of this, then you can treat them with Ritalin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. To calm them down again.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. And plus all the other attention deficit disorders that take place and behavioral problems and sleep deprivation and all the other, Lord knows. And if they're using... secretly putting artificial sweeteners in there, then, you know, they're at the point where they don't have to list the ingredients. You remember we went through that battle over the past couple of years? This information was out there that somehow the food manufacturers didn't have to say what was in the food, if it had fat in it or what kind of fat was in it or what kind of additives were in it. And they've gotten so ridiculous that you have to be licensed to sell this stuff, or that if you're going to make a claim that it supports life, why eat it if it doesn't support life? And
we could go down to the beach and just eat sand and pebbles, you know.
Yeah,
and it would be free.
Oh my God! Well,
the other thing that I wanted to mention before I forget was that Hillary Clinton was involved with the preparation of some kind of a bill which is now going to prevent any form of religious gathering unless it's in a government-certified church. And I thought that that was a pretty horrendous statement. Whether or not that'll ever take root, I don't know. And then the last thing, which was really amazing, was that according to the new powers that Obama is handing out left and right, the IRS, not only in charge of getting as much money out of you as possible, will now be in charge of a nationwide accounting of who has guns and who does not. And if you own any kind of gun, there's going to be a surcharge based on the type of weapon that it is and how many that you have. And that's something that they're trying to push through without making an announcement about it, so that it will just magically become law. And then you'll have all these slime balls coming around to check and see if you have weapons in your homes or not.
Yeah, and they're trying to ban all the state laws. You know, those laws are mandated constitutionally to be in the control of the states, not federal. It's just another power grab. These people are desperate. This is the whole point here. You're witnessing the insanity that accompanies the desperation. What else can it be?
Well, I hope that it's insanity, because if it's the norm, I don't want any part of it.
Well, I think we've come to that conclusion a few weeks ago, haven't we?
Yeah, I hope. Well, the interesting thing is, I'm aware of the fact that a number of states are now trying to really dig in their heels, and they realize that this whole federal racket is so out of control that if they don't do something, there's going to be real problems. And I know Oklahoma, Montana, Kansas, Texas, and I don't remember what all, but there was about 12 states that have basically passed bills to certify their sovereign rights and to pretty much divorce themselves from all of this nonsense that the federal government is attempting to subject them to. I just hope that the rest of the states are not so far gone that they will refuse to follow suit.
Mm-hmm. Now, there has been some news coming out recently, and I've reported this some time ago. In fact, I got interested when I saw George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton sitting on a stage, which had a fireplace in the background. I call it a stage because it was obviously a TV set. And you get this view of them sitting up higher than you're actually viewing, and they're pleading for money for the Hurricane Katrina fund, and Hillary has gotten in some hot water over that. And of course, this ties in directly with Henry Kissinger, and I reported that. I spent a couple of days a year and a half ago on that. They were calling it the Freedom Fund, and this money goes into the Council on Foreign Relations, and it's not going to the people at all. You had a comment that you made to me earlier this evening, off the air, about somebody that you had talked to, who's from New Orleans. Would you share that with the listening audience before we take a call?
Oh yeah, I was traveling quite a bit lately, as you know, and I sat next to a gentleman from New Orleans and his wife on the return from one of my trips, and we got talking about the conditions in that city, And he said that, you know, it's really horrendous. He said, first of all, FEMA isn't worth, well, I won't say exactly what he said, but he said that they are totally inept. And of course, we all know that that's not really what they're there for anyway. But he said, over and above that, he said, so little has been done, so much has been lost, and you have so many people that are so utterly disgusted. He said that they have really come to hate the federal government. And he said that's, you know, that's just normal everyday talk. He said if you have, you know, a group of people standing around talking about these various problems, he said, you know, they're not bashful at all about telling you how they feel about Washington and all the scum that resides there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we hear in the media is there's no substance to it at all, and they've collected probably billions now into that fund, and they've siphoned it all off. I had reported that one of the attorneys working on it was George P. Bush, which is Jeb Bush's son. He was a college student in Dallas, Texas, working with the law firm that was handling the Katrina fund. Now, why would you have a law firm in Texas handling that fund unless you were siphoning off the money, right? And
well,
again,
you'd think that the center of activity would be in Louisiana.
Yeah, yeah. And he was in law school. He wasn't even an attorney, and they had him working as, as spearheading this fundraising thing and the legal aspects. And the publicity firm was Kissinger McClarty Associates. Specifically, they had Mac McClarty handling the publicity for that. That was to keep Henry's nose clean. But Henry got his hands on the money. And I'm sure that money was siphoned into the Council on Foreign Relations and taken to foreign bank accounts. Jim, we've got Ron from Pennsylvania on the line. Ron, welcome to Evident Footprints. Do you have a comment or a question for Jim Murray?
Commentary that might be of interest to you. I couldn't help but be intrigued by the commentary on the foodstuffs. And I like the shredded wheat. That's pretty good. A good taste in cereal. Some of us have just completely made up our mind about this proposed gun ban. A few words. We're not going to obey it, and that's the end of the argument. Because Britain had gradually registration instilled over there over the years since the 1920s, and now they have nothing. So knowing that, just won't obey it. That's the end of that. But I was surprised when I did have TV hooked up here at the house. I do not have that now. There are four large cereal manufacturing factories in the United States that make about 400 different brands of cereal. I was quite surprised to see that. Now, they tweak the recipes a little bit, probably for patent infringement reasons, my guess. For example, the Cheerios that you spoke of earlier are made by one of the brand companies. They have an off-brand generic called Toasted Oats, which isn't quite the same, but it looks identical to it. Well, sometimes I have to wonder if food being manufactured, the names they come up with are somehow lost in translation. And two examples I could think of is years and years ago, Pepsi-Cola tried a marketing advertisement campaign over in Germany. Well, the word order in German is not quite what you think it is in English. And the slogan, remember, used to be, come alive with Pepsi?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they put it in German, it translated into, come out of the grave with Pepsi. So it was not a brisk seller over there, I guess. But a few months ago, there is a national chain that I won't mention, but I might mention the sandwich and it'll ring a bell with you. I don't know how fluent you are in Greek. I'm not a little bit, except for a few words. There's a word in Greek called skata, and what it is, it's a four-letter word that means human excrement. Of course, we all know what that is. Well, I walked into a restaurant right down the street one day just to have a coffee with a couple of guys, and they're promoting a new chicken sandwich called a frescata sandwich. And I said, no, that can't be. I'm wondering if the people that come up with these words actually really know what they mean, or are they still howling with laughter after they go ahead and push this sandwich on the public?
I'm sure they do that. I'm sure. I wouldn't doubt it. Why would they not do that?
It's so coincidental. It has to be more than just that. So what I did is I took it upon my good civic duty to tell almost everybody coming into the store exactly what that word meant. I don't know how many sandwiches they sold, but it wasn't lasting there very long forever. And probably chicken is not far removed from what we're talking about. I have heard some of the managers of some of these big chain restaurants and general managers who got their start years ago working in the food industry, like chicken slaughterhouses. And they say if you worked in one of them, you wouldn't even look at a chicken, let alone eat one. I guess the cleanliness conditions just aren't there.
Yeah.
So the frescata sandwich is probably not going to be introduced again, at least I hope not. I didn't know if you had any knowledge of that. You may even know the restaurant.
I do. We won't give them a plug on the shirt.
No. Nothing important. I just thought I'd pass that on to you. I didn't know if you were aware of that or not.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's part of the typical nightmare of the fast food industry. They're presenting things that look and smell and taste a certain way, and people aren't even questioning what they're comprised of. So,
well, they have
you know,
a name for the food. Don't what do they call it? Comfort food or something like that, where it satisfies some urge rather than any nutritional need.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a certain amount of taste in it to bring you back or to keep you there or just to barely get you fed. And, of course, they're making profit on this thing, so we know it's not really comprised, of your high-grade meats, if there are that many left anymore.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, Ron, I got to cut you short here. I've got another caller here, and we got to try to keep pace so that we don't run over too much. But,
okay, fine. Catch up with you another time. Take care.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thanks for calling in. Leo from Massachusetts. Welcome to Evident Footprints. How you doing, my friend?
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I emailed you last night early in the morning with some little stuff and a couple of airplane songs. I was wondering if you got that one.
Oh, was that you? Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Useful idiot.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're the useful idiot. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that Stalin quote.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my take on this whole problem with the government, the over-government here, is that it's a matter of nomenclature. Hold on. Are you looking for the peanut butter? It's in there, in the door. It's a matter of nomenclature. We should remove the D from federal.
Remove the D from federal?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we have to, if you have a pen, we could write it out and see what it comes to.
Feral, F-E-R-A-L, which is what it's become. We have a feral government. We should start referring to it as the feral government.
Oh, and your point is, I'm a bit lost on that.
That we should remove the D and refer to them as the feral government. When we write it out, write out F-E-R-A-L and leave out the D. And eventually, it'll catch on. I'm trying to, you know, make something that would be popular that would blow their minds. Because it would put them appropriately in the box that they deserve to be in.
Well, the definition, I don't know, I'm assuming you're referring to them as animals.
Right.
Sort of.
Wild animals.
That have escaped from captivity or domestication? I don't know.
Exactly. Precisely. I mean, they're supposed to be, actually, I have a funny way of expressing the Tenth Amendment. Since the states are the parent of the mother of the federal government, the Tenth Amendment is actually a feminist issue when you get right down to it.
Okay. I'm following you, but I'm not getting your point.
It's the mother's rights over the child. The federal government is child to the state, which is why they have a 10th Amendment.
Okay, but that's, now, how does that tie in with the word feral? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, no, separate issues. It wasn't a tie-in.
Actually, you have to remove a D and an E to get the spelling you're coming up with.
Right, a D and an E. Anyway, that's all, keep trucking.
Make up a bumper sticker and send it to me, and I'll give you... I'll give you my thoughts on that. Jim, do you want to comment?
Actually, what I was doing was looking up the 10th Amendment so that I could make an intelligent comment, but I haven't found it yet. I don't remember the amendments, you know, as well as I should.
Yeah. Okay, anything else, Leo?
That's all. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Well,
I don't. Okay, I found the 10th Amendment. I don't understand how it's a feminist issue, but it basically says the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. And you know, that covers a lot of territory, actually.
Yeah, we've discussed the. Unalienable or inalienable rights, the fact that they cannot be taken away, nor can they be given up. That is in the Constitution. And that is the premise of our sovereignty argument. That's the foundation of our sovereignty argument. Our rights cannot be taken away, and we cannot give them up.
But the problem is, if you don't know that and act accordingly, then it doesn't matter. And that's where backbone comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Precisely my point.
You know, I've often wondered just how far we can push people, or how far they can be pushed in general, before they finally decide that they're not going to be pushed anymore.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I know that when I was younger, of course things were radically different, but when I was younger, it was pretty darn obvious that you couldn't push anybody very far. People were very aware of what they were willing to take and what they weren't willing to take.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me today something is really radically different. I mean, it's just amazing how much people will retreat, you know, from the concern of legal entanglement or the fear of government or the fear of police, you know, whatever it happens to be. I just can't understand what the heck has changed that so many people are in that boat.
Well, I think it's the accumulative effect, and probably it's maybe even becoming genetic in a sense, that you dumb down a species or cut it off from its source long enough, at least cut off the physiological processes that have to occur to prevent that from happening. And this is why the food and the mind control and the propaganda works, is because it's limiting consciousness by focusing the attention in the wrong places. I mean, everything they do is based upon fear, right? When people begin discussing these issues, they are overwhelmed with fear. And where does that fear come from? It's an illusion. So it has to be based upon a belief system shown and demonstrated and drilled into their subconscious to the point that when confronted with an issue, the fear comes up from the subconscious and causes the individual to be paralyzed or apathetic to it, in denial, we say, because, I mean, you know this process. I'm just, you know, underscoring this for the listening audience. That's what happens. And when you couple with that an education based on falsehoods, in science, in literature, in history, and even in mathematics, I mean, are we really being taught true mathematics? Are we being taught the meaning of numbers, why they exist, their relationships to language, how you can hide numerology within words, and hide sayings, you know, their script, couching it in feelings and couching it in imagery that belies what the true intent is. No wonder. I mean, you know, you've got a whole nation full of people that are hypnotized and don't know it. And those that do, if you snap them out of their trance for a moment, they become belligerent. You know, I'm watching this. Don't interrupt me while I'm watching this. I mean, you know, I'm hypnotized and I'm loving it. It's basically what they're saying without using those words. And they prefer not to hear these things because it causes them to have to be responsible. So they've been taught to be irresponsible. They've been not just dumbed down, but numbed down. That they're not in touch with their true selves, their true feelings. That's not the case with everyone, but certainly the majority. I'm sure you would agree.
I would agree because I've seen so much of it. But, you know, the mechanism is what bothers me. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I lived in a pretty rough town, and I got beat up pretty regularly, especially by some guys in the neighborhood who were, you know, a lot older than me. But I never, ever succumbed to it. And as these situations continued, there was something going on that apparently they didn't notice. I was growing. And one day I was just as big as they were, and I beat the living tar out of them. And, you know, so what, the reason I mention that is because I think that if certain types of trauma are induced at a young enough age, it in most people it seems to kill something. It seems to kill the spirit of retaliation or the spirit of sticking up for yourself or whatever you call that quality in a person. I mean, it's a perfectly natural thing that if something is irritating you, you want to strike out at it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that so many people just nonchalantly accept everything that's thrown their way nowadays?
Because they've been spiritually disempowered, and I suppose I should throw organized religion in there, too. You know, we have books. This has been a recent discussion. In fact, I had this discussion with my publishers at the Idaho Observer today. I wrote a short piece for this month's paper. Actually, they put part six of the Three Stooges Go to Washington article. Part of it is in the paper, what they can show in black and white, and they reference the article on my website. And for you listeners out there who haven't read it, go to directlightproductions.com and click on articles. And look at the pictures that Barack Obama's people put out. I included a commentary at the front of the article based on a recent revelation by a Mr. Gibbs, the White House press secretary, who basically says that he's astounded that this issue of the birth certificate is still coming up, that 400,000 people have signed a petition demanding that he produce this document. And the argument he used was that it's on the internet for anyone to see. but they, in the next breath, they put down anything on the internet as being unreliable just because it's there and it can be manipulated. Regardless of whether I got the pictures off the internet or the documents or whatever, I've analyzed both documents and photos and biographies and autobiographies and what, even what the government is telling us and the political parties. And I've debunked this guy. And the issue is getting this message out to people to read it, because the people that are reading this information are saying, there you are. Now I know for sure that this guy is a complete phony from top to bottom. Now people are conditioned, and we're dealing with spiritual warfare here, Jim, and I'm not getting religious on you, other than to say that there's the aspect, the true identification of who we are as beings is found in the spiritual realm. I'm sure you would agree with me.
And, oh, absolutely.
And that is what we have been deprived of, because we have been, we've allowed them to redirect our attention away from who we are and accept this new reality that they have created. And it's not a reality, it's an illusion. But it's presented to us as a nonstop reality, 24/7, at every turn. So they've gotten people's attention on their illusions, and everything is illusion. Everything is based on an illusion. How are wars created? Out of illusion. They've gotten so brazen with the wars that they don't even talk to the other side about what they're going to do. They just do it, because their greed and their perversions their greed has risen, and their perversions have lowered commensurately compared to each other. They're the exact opposites in quantity, and yet it rules everything. It controls everything. As long as you buy into the illusions as being real. So we don't, these people we're talking about who are asleep at the wheel and don't see what's going on, and don't care to see what's going on, have totally succumbed to these devices that they've put on society. For hundreds of years, even thousands of years, this has been going on, repeating over and over and over again. We've had societies with very advanced technologies, and they've destroyed each other. And we've been given a chance to come back here and get it right again and again. This is a spiritual issue, ultimately. Regardless of what kind of car somebody wants to buy or they have, or what kind of house they live in, where they have their vacations, how they spend their money, how they get their money, it doesn't matter. It's all based on illusions.
Well, I guess I'm just disappointed that so many people, have thrown in the towel on these issues. It kind of reminds me of something that really flabbergasted me when I was a kid. I was always gifted with the ability to produce imagery in my mind. And when I found out that Tesla could do that, I said, wow, that's great, And so I assumed that everybody does that. And I labored under that misunderstanding until I was probably halfway through my teen years, and I began talking to people about, if I'm working on an invention or a math problem or whatever, that I can just picture things in my head and work on them cerebrally, and when I'm ready, then I can reduce it to paper or produce an actual physical model or whatever. And I was blown away by the fact that 9/10 of the people that I talked to hadn't the vaguest idea what I was talking about. And so I have since realized that not everybody has the same internal workings, even though we all look the same. There are apparently different strata of people with different gifts and different abilities. And so I shouldn't I shouldn't judge the rest of my fellow man by, you know, the way I would do something when it comes to the political issue either. Because even though I don't understand exactly why people allow these things to happen, if I use myself as an example, which is not a good thing to do, apparently, the confusion is just paramount. Because I don't believe in being bullied. And that's what these guys are. They're bullies.
Mm-hmm. But they use others to carry out the enforcement of what they want done. Because they're really cowards. They act like bullies, but you know.
Yeah, I was going to say at another time that was an issue that came up. You notice that they never make themselves known. I mean, the real real kingpins, whoever they are.
Yes.
They never just come right out and say, hey, you know what? We really want to take you over and treat you as sheep. They just don't have the gumption to do that. It's always by treachery and deception.
Well, Jim, we got another caller here. Would you like to take another call?
Sure, why not?
Okay, we have General Jeremiah on the line. Welcome to Evident Footprints. How are you this evening?
Hello, Don. How are you today?
I'm very, very well. Yes, I can. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from a spacecraft rotating around this planet right now. I'm the commanding general of a spacecraft called the Alliance that's from the United Galactic Federation. We are monitoring your planet, and this is not a joke. Some of your listeners will probably think it's a joke, but just want to let you know that we have been listening to your show quite often, and we enjoy what we hear. I want to tell Jim that he has been registered as one of the scientists that we're going to contact in the near future about some projects.
Now, this is not a spoof, right?
This is not a spoof, no. This is for real.
Jim, your response to what you've heard so far?
Well, I'm flattered and very excited. Of course, it's difficult to accept. I don't often participate in phone calls from outer space, but I'm glad you called in.
Thank you. Well, we have been meaning to contact you in the past, but things are getting to the point now that we feel it's the time is right for this continent and this planet to know that there are entities from other planets watching what's going on here and monitoring the progress of this nation, and not this nation only, but all the nations of the planet. But we have listened to your conversations with Don over the past year or so, and realize that you are a scientist worthy of attention, and we would like to honor you as such, and hopefully that we'll make contact in the very near future and pull you into some of the projects that we have going on.
Well, I would certainly love to participate, and I'm grateful for you singling me out for whatever reason you did so. But is it okay to ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
I've always pondered this issue. Of course, I don't know exactly what I base it on, except perhaps the common sense associated with normal evolution. But is there such a thing as the prime directive of not interfering with the development of another planet? And if there is, then do you interpret your intervention as being a violation of that prime directive?
Well, the way we see it, yes, there is a prime directive. I will answer that question. Jim, we are made up of, the Alliance is made up of several people from many different planets. We have 26,000 people aboard the Spacecraft Alliance. We are in orbit in your solar system. We've been here for 32 years watching the progress of this nation and this continent. but we do not interfere in the affairs of mankind. We do assist on occasions in some situations, but we are not an interfering agency. We are made up of, our federation is made up of 574 planets throughout this galaxy, from this galaxy, that have become religiously involved with each other. We have the same goals, the same outlook on things, and basically our alliance was started many centuries ago by people that had experience with Jesus, the person you call Jesus, visiting your planet and our planets too. Many of us of these planets accepted him as our Savior and our Lord, and we have formed an alliance around that aspect. We are a non-warring federation. We do not have wars among each other, among our continents or our planets, and we have developed a very wonderful, wonderful relationship with this, these 574 planets. We are gradually adding other planets to it. Earth is supposedly one of those planets that we have picked out, but unfortunately, I don't think you're quite ready for it at this time.
Well, that would have been my next question anyway, General. What changes or what do we have to do in order to become worthy of entering that federation?
Basically, we look for continents on a planet that are willing to give up the warmongering spirit and lay down their atomic weapons to live in peaceful alliance with not only the other nations of this planet, but also other planets that are willing to cooperate. I know you know, and Don knows, that there are thousands of other planets that are monitoring the situation on this globe at the present time, but we are just one faction of those. There seems to be almost a mass invasion now at this present time of thousands and thousands of spacecraft from other parts of the galaxy that are coming here to observe what is taking place. We hope that there will be no conflicts and hope this will be a peaceful type situation, but that remains to be seen.
I'd like to ask a question. You say you've been listening to the show for about a year. Actually, I've been on BBS radio since November of 2007, but on the air totally, next month will be 2 years, this show.
Yes.
What is your general opinion of the information that you hear on this show? Obviously, you know that we're doing our best to bring the truth to light and tell people what's really going on.
Don, the only way I know how to say it is you're so on track. It's almost to the point of being unbelievable. Our intelligence network is probably the greatest in this galaxy. We monitor situations on this planet and every nation. We know what's happening in inside governments and also inside private organizations, and you have opened the doors to many of these things by just your research and your knowledge. We have saluted you and said many times that we would like for you to be part of our intelligence network, because it seems like you have a very good knack of finding these things. And our people, our technology and our people are so astute at this, it's unbelievable, but you fall right into that category.
Well, I'm honored to hear that. I guess, so you're saying we're following the right path and to the best of our ability. Obviously, we don't have the assets to go as deep into some of these things as we could, but, you know, it costs a lot of money to do certain types of investigation, and you know, we use our discernment. I know this about Jim as well. Equally, we honor the gifts of the Spirit to make up for the lack of funding and all of this support. Do you see this show continuing along this path and trailblazing in a sense?
Don, if you go any other direction, you've missed the boat. You're going in the right direction. This is the way, the things that you discover and bring up on this radio program are almost unbelievable to even some of our most astute scientists that we have listening and researching and looking into matters with a, probably the most sophisticated technology that could be imagined. You have uncovered things that sometimes our scientists even have trouble finding. And I laud you for that. You are on the right track. Please keep it up. Keep up what you're doing and don't stop.
Well, I'll take that to heart. If I could ask a question, I've got some chat messages popping through, and I can't really keep up with them as fast as they're coming through here. But I think people, some of the listeners are saying that if people knew, if they had a way to verify your presence and without the interference of these corrupt, evil governments that don't want the masses to know, if they had a way for us to know, to see your presence in a non-threatening way, would the Federation be willing to make themselves known without risking their safety? Because obviously, I would presume that it's a dangerous prospect for them to do so. Are they considering ways to do that? Let me ask it that way.
Yes, we are, Don, and our presence has been seen across the planet. We have thousands of spacecraft going to and from this planet daily. Our biggest problem is the danger for and security of our personnel. We have been attacked by, numerous times, thousands of times, by enemy spacecraft from other civilizations that don't want us here, don't want us being involved in this, because they know that we are not trying to stop the progress of this planet, but we are trying to maybe hinder some of their progress as far as they're taking over this planet. And so that is our biggest concern. We cannot just liberally give ourselves open to the public because of that reason. I was observing and watching a friend of yours recently, and he was in a remote location. We were about to ascend or descend rather upon his location so he could view our spacecraft, and we were attacked by 12 spacecraft from a we will call them what you call them, the Grays, and we had to defend ourselves from that. So you can, that's one example of many thousands of different examples, and so that's why we do not make ourselves completely visible all the time.
Well, I can a thought that's going through my head right at this moment is how clear your call is. This is much clearer than a call we get on a landline. So I would have to say that this call is not coming from a wire. And it's not a cell phone, per se.
Our communication devices are so sophisticated I cannot describe them to you. But we do hit a transmitter from in one location around the country wherever we are at that time. And I think we're broadcasting over Texas right now.
If I can ask a technical question, and this is in reference to, I do what I can do. The network at BBS Radio does what they can do to guesstimate or estimate the number of listeners that we have around the world. And I get messages from people all over the world. I know that they're listening, and there was a time when I could track my listening audience and see where the majority of people were listening. At one point on one of the Alexa services, there was a reference to 10% of my listening audience and visitors to my website were from Paraguay, which I found extremely interesting. And this was just after I released the information about the secret compound that the Bushes had bought, the 98,840-acre spread in eastern Paraguay, over the world's largest, or one of the world's largest, aquifers. And it was shortly after that, but it seems like it's very difficult for me to pull accurate numbers. Are you able to track the or approximate the listening audience to this show around the world?
Yes, we are. I haven't looked at the numbers tonight, but on occasions we've seen that you had as high as 20 million listeners at one time. I don't know if that's the case at this present time, but you are attracting a very large audience.
Well, after
not
the word gets out,
not only from
I'm
not
sorry,
only from this planet, but from not only from this planet, but from other solar systems too.
My goodness, that's humbling. Jim, do you have a thought on that?
I'm humbled into silence. That's
Jim, I know you've heard, Don may have told you this, but at one occasion we had two of our doctors visit you in the hospital room one night when you were having some ailments. We didn't make ourselves known because we did not want to attract attention, but I think you remember the occasion.
Oh, I remember it very clearly. And by the way, I would also say that my lungs are doing pretty well right now. And so whoever those technicians or doctors were, I would extend my thanks.
I'll pass the word on to them. They're very good men.
Okay, General, we have another question here.
We've got,
I don't know who this is from, we've got a question, regarding the crystal skulls. Are those of us, our scientists and inventors who are working on, crystal storage devices or crystal technologies going to make any kind of breakthrough, let's say to decipher the crystal skulls, or for that matter, possible alternative energy devices?
There are three scientists that I know of on your planet. One is in Australia, one in the United States, and one in Great Britain that have made breakthroughs already into that area. They're probably being stifled by their governments, but that technology will be made known, I would say, within months to you and to this station. That technology was left upon this planet by a planet that's from a very far off solar system in this galaxy, but they are really wonderful people, and they had a brilliant crews that were working this planet at that time. Our Federation was not part of that I know of at this time.
Mm-hmm. Somewhat of a rhetorical question that might be answered specifically. In terms of the Federation and the, I don't know if it's bylaws or the intergalactic agreements that they have with each other from each of these 574 planets that you describe, we're obviously talking about different races, people that look different, that have different roles in this mission together, yet are focused on guiding us, I would like to say, here. What needs to occur on the Earth? What can the people do to assist others in waking up? You're familiar with that topic, I'm sure, that we
Yes.
talk about the dumbed-down masses and the propaganda, and I'm not belittling these people in making that claim. It's obvious to those of us who are aware of these things, that there are people who are totally oblivious to what is going on. What has to occur for us to ascend to a higher state of consciousness and be accepted into the Federation?
The qualifications that have been made known throughout the galaxy is that we all bind ourselves together through the relationship that we have with what you call the Messiah, which we call the Messiah also, who is Jesus the Christ. He is the one that came to each one of these planets and preached his gospel. He came to different planets and presented the truth, presented his laws and doctrines and his teachings of love and care for all people. Most of these planets accepted him, accepted his teachings. He came to this planet and you crucified him and killed him. And I'm not saying you, Don, but the planet did. And when this planet becomes reconciled to him and to his laws and teachings and to the basic concepts of what you call Christianity, that will be the deciding factor when this planet will be ready for inclusion into the Federation. There will be many other stipulations, of course. We are ruled by a council of 21 elders who are some of the wisest men in the galaxy. These are gentlemen that have lifespans of 500 plus years. Most of them have been in different situations of government control and government leadership, but they are men that have been chosen and picked and called and made the righteous rulers of this Federation. They are benevolent. They love all mankind, and they will be looking at this planet. They already have been. I have entertained three of those elders this week on our Alliance spacecraft, which, as I said before, is orbiting in your solar system. They know about planet Earth. They are very, very concerned about the stability of the governments of each nation. They're concerned about the warfare that's going on and the unnecessary lives that are being wasted. And when they see some kind of evidence that there's a change, then there'll be a council formed and a committee formed upon this planet made up of other type men such as themselves. And then the transition can be made, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I have been picked and made commander of the Alliance spacecraft because of some connections that I have. I am from this planet, from planet Earth, but I have, over the past few years, have been trained and brought into this Federation and been made a part of the leadership of it. Like I told you before, the Alliance, we have 26,000 people assigned to the Alliance with thousands of spacecraft coming to and from our destination and assigned to our larger craft. So we stay in constant contact with this planet and what is going on in each nation. So you've seen our craft, some other people have, and we're just here and willing and able to serve if we can.
I'm glad you mentioned the craft. There was a sighting of a craft over the Washington Mall during the presidential inauguration on January 20th, 2009. And there was a media site that had posted the video and some photographs of one of your craft. And I sensed that there were four craft there at that location for benevolent reasons. When it hit the media, people started saying it was a bird, it was a bug on the camera lens. When I entered a message on this blog site describing that those four craft were from the Galactic Federation, the Galaxy of Hendon, did I tell the truth?
You told the exact truth. You caught us on camera. That was a okay. That was a slip up on our part, but
yeah.
I was in one of those craft on that day, and we were watching the inauguration.
Now, I have seen those craft before, and I recognize the craft in the photograph, and I was invited, as many others were, anyone that went to that site, and I posted a paragraph or so as to who that was. And so now we have that verified. So all the people that want to say it's a bug or it's a bird or it's swamp gas, it's the Galactic Federation.
In fact, there were at least 30 of our huge craft. We fly different types of craft. One of our larger ones that we do a lot of observation in and have meetings and is about 1,000-foot diameter from your measurements. Then we have several craft that are 100-foot diameter, 60-foot diameter, thereabouts, you know, those different type designs and all, because we come from several different planets. But I want to mention one thing, Don. We are all human. Everybody involved in the Federation, all the 574 planets, if you went to either one, you would think you were on planet Earth because of the resemblance. A little bit of difference in skin color, eye shape, maybe, but we're all basically humans.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any reason to doubt that. I'm sure a lot of the stories we hear about other species may be accurate, but they're stressed and focused upon for the purpose of creating fear. Those are the monsters
yes.
that we see in movies, for example. And people have to wake up to the fact that there are trillions of planets and trillions of stars in our vicinity. We're in no way talking about the entirety of the universe. I've heard it referred to in metaphysical writings that there are 7 grand universes. It's incomprehensible how large God's creation is, and how tiny we are, how important we are, and yet we are mere specks, smaller than bacteria.
I won't comment on the extent of God's creation. There is no way to describe it. We, as the members of this Federation, have the capability to travel outside of our galaxy, but we have found that when we do, we encounter races that are hostile. So we have limited most of our travel inside the galaxy. There are so many planets within this galaxy that you would never, ever be able to explore all of them in a million years. So that's how big this galaxy is. And there is life on many millions of those planets.
Can many of us expect to see this in a grander sense in terms of experience? And I mean, not just witnessing crafts in the sky, but interacting with the Federation within our lifetime.
That's what our plans are. Hopefully within this fiscal year, there will be some contacts made, and you and Jim are at the top of my list. But,
well, that's already occurred on this show tonight. And
I would not have made myself known if that had not been the case. But
I would say this is the first time this has occurred on any radio show, whether it be AM, FM, shortwave, or internet.
I would guess that's probably true. I'll tell you a short story, and I know your time is limited, but I had there is a race of people that you call reptilians. They are very bizarre looking people. They have been hostile to most of our Federation, but we have tried to become at least be able to communicate with them and talk with them on occasions. I recently informed my staff that I would like to meet one of these people and interview him and him or her, and then begin to develop some kind of an understanding of what their thinking is, because we know, you know, and I know that this planet has been invaded by them for centuries. We had an occasion where we stumbled upon a craft out in the desert of New Mexico, in the wilderness of New Mexico. Apparently he had had some mechanical problems and he had landed his craft and was waiting for assistance. Unfortunately, our craft came along at the appropriate time and we did capture this individual. We did not harm him. He was a high-ranking general in his military too. I went to rendezvous with at a certain time to talk to this person, and we had five of our elders there with me, and he informed us that there are people in this on this galaxy and in this planet in this galaxy that want to cooperate with them, yet they have found it necessary to begin to take over governments of nations. And so he was very helpful in his what he told us. He was a very, very astute, intelligent individual, spoke fluent English, was dressed, he looked like he was about 7 feet tall, and dressed very elegantly in a battle garment, I would say. And he began to tell us about the prophetic realm. He knew as much about religion and prophecy probably as any individual on this planet that I knew about, and he began to tell us about the prophets that even in their culture that had prophesied of the time when this planet would be brought to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he said, we fear that because we don't believe that. We don't want that to happen. But he said that is probably going to happen maybe within the next 30 years. So I hope he was right. But
yeah,
we released him. We kept him for 3 days, and then we took him back to his spacecraft and contacted his people and turned him back over to them.
Did he leave a calling card that we could invite him onto this show for an interview?
Unfortunately, he did not.
Well,
his name
his
name is hard for me to pronounce, and I speak many languages of the Federation, but Gail Cotre was the best I remember, General Gail Cotre.
Okay. Well, if he's listening to the show, that invitation's open.
He might take you up on it.
Okay, Jim, do you have a question? I'm sure you probably have a million of them, but before
we
wrap...
I'm trying very hard to suppress the urge to ask technical questions because...
Feel free. I'll try to answer as much as I can.
Well, the problem is once we get started on that track, there'll be no satiation for me. But... I think that the things that we've been concentrating on probably take precedence, and you know, we are very interested, Don and me, in getting the word out that humanity has to take the reins and be responsible for its own destiny if we don't want to succumb to the agendas of these individuals who want to rule the planet. And that's where we've had the focus for the last, I don't know, Don, what would you say, 6 months in the
at least,
shows
yes.
that we've been
yes.
We've been talking about, because, you know, primarily my interests all revolve around the work of Nikola Tesla and other people of that character. And my personal interests involve, you know, alternative energy sources and proper utilization of power and things of that sort, which I'm sure you're aware of. But even though those are my passions, we've put I've tried to put most of that aside for the sake of being more expedient in somehow lending a hand to the expansion of consciousness, which we think is an essential ingredient in accelerating the evolution of people to the point where they will realize the kind of power that they really have and be able to assist those of us on this planet who want change. And so that's where we've been concentrating.
That's very good. That's the right place, Jim. With the human mind is so unlimited, we as humans sometimes use a very small percentage of what capability we have. So expansion of our mind and consciousness is the formula that we find is necessary to begin to delve into realms that are laid in before us in the scientific world, but have not been able to be explored because we limited ourselves to the laws that we thought were the appropriate laws, but there are laws that are beyond that even. I would give you a few examples, but it would be hard to break them down into technology that I can describe in the English language at least. Our spacecraft, let me say this, and I'll give you a vague description. Our spacecraft travel through space with antimatter generators and anti-gravity devices, of course, when we're close to the planet, but antimatter generators are basically the central focus of our propulsion systems. And it is, we probably have the most sophisticated and the most advanced anywhere in the galaxy, of all the planets in the galaxy. But we'll let you look at one very soon. You'll understand what I'm saying then.
Well, it would be great if we
could...
That
would be an experience.
Yes, it would be great if we could take a photograph or something to, you know, have a memento to show people as well.
We will probably allow that.
If it can be done where you're not compromising your safety. We, as well as anyone else on the planet, are aware of the dangers of being here.
Yes.
So we can sympathize with your concerns in that respect. You must know that the hearts of the majority of the people are not in the same place as those that rule the planet, nor those that rule the governments. There may be some exceptions, but in general terms, what is going on in this world is leading this planet to destruction and leading this race of people called humans in this locale, in the three-dimensional construct, to its destruction. And it seems that those that are desperately hanging on to power are willing to do anything to hold on to that power, even destroy it, bring everything down with it. And so, you know, we're going to continue on this show. Just if you can convey this to the people in the Federation, that our intent is to bring our consciousness to a full awareness of who we really are, our purpose for being alive here at this time, in this location, and an understanding of the gifts that the Creator gave us. And to bring those to a state of consciousness and full awakening. And with that will come the understanding of the insanity of war and murder and all the evil things that occur on this planet. And once we come to that collective understanding, and I think it only takes 5% of the planet to actually cause that shift to take place,
Then
we will be ready to meet our brothers and sisters in space.
Definitely. And we're drawing very close to that time now. I know that you know that this nation and other nations have black operations projects that are so far advanced that the most average humans would not even believe that they were there. And I think you have been, I've heard you mention it before, Don, there are civilizations, there are colonies on Mars already. There are many, many, many projects going on the moon right now, also on Saturn. And I won't say much more because I don't want to get all of your government people mad at me. But we're being monitored, I'm sure, by all of the agencies. But if you could only see the amount of people that are already living on planet Mars from this planet. It's unbelievable.
Well, I have. That's my problem. I have. and I risk, I know I risk the derision that comes about when one states something so far out in left field, so to speak, you know, so diverse from the norm, and yet there are others who know this as well. So I'm not alone in that area, and I've stated it as such. I may not know everything, but I know a lot of things, and I give the glory and the credit to the God that I serve, and that's where I stand. I have to trust that God's word is true, and I don't mean God's watered down or filtered milquetoast version of the truth. Or the propagandized, politicized version. I am in direct communication with the Creator.
Yes.
And I don't always hear him. I know he hears me. I'm working on my hearing in that respect.
Right.
Well,
the basic message of Christianity, the gospel of Jesus that he preached upon this planet, and what limited amount of that information you have is accurate, and it's very, very good to know that word that we call it. So study it and know what he said and know what he did, and you'll be a whole lot closer to the truth.
Okay, well, we're honored. I know you must have more pressing things to do.
Well, I took tonight, I made an announcement on the Alliance last night that those that wanted to listen, I was going to make this phone call tonight, and those that wanted to listen could listen. So I imagine we have 10,000 people from the Alliance listening to this conversation tonight. So you have fans from many places.
Well, we send our greetings and our best wishes for successful and safe missions, and I can speak for Jim. I'll let Jim speak for himself, but I look forward to the day when we all meet.
I hope that will be very soon, and I plan to work on that aspect of it myself. I have a crew that I'm flying with tonight, who is my normal crew, and they extend their greetings to you also.
Well, we reciprocate. Jim, your closing comment?
Well, my closing comment, I'm most stunned of all by the fact that you've made an offer to actually meet with us. Naturally, that's if you know anything about my psyche, that's been something that I've thought about and pondered about since I was a very young lad. And so if that comes to pass, I will be not only honored, but very ecstatic, and look forward to the event with great anticipation.
So do I, and the people I will bring with me will be such remarkable people, technology-wise, that you'll be definitely blessed by just being in their presence. They're very, very good people, humble, but yet very, very intelligent. and they'll be glad to share their knowledge with you.
Well, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, General... Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I guess I had better sign off. We are seeing, we've counted 14 reptilian or gray alien spacecraft orbiting around us while we're sitting here. Okay. Fortunately, we have about 20 craft of our own in the area, so...
Well, tell them, give them a shout out for us while you're at it, if you
okay,
will.
Okay, I shall.
It's been a pleasure, a great surprise. I'm sure some people are just frozen to their seats listening to this show tonight, and the archive is going to go off the charts, I'm sure. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing this important message with us. And all this wonderful information. You have an open invitation to call into the show anytime.
I will be back. I will call you again.
Okay. Well, God bless
you.
Thank
you so much, Non, for the time.
All the people in the Federation.
Thank you, and God bless you too, and my prayers are with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night, General. Thank you.
Good night, Jim. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. That's a first, guaranteed. That's a first on this planet. Jim, any closing comments?
Well, you know, it's like I said, if it ever comes to pass that I can meet and study with people of that caliber, I would be immersed in ecstasy. So. I'm going to be pondering upon that whole issue and the invitation that it represents. And, you know, I'll need at least a month to think about it.
Okay. Well, Jim, we're going to wrap here. I'm going to say thanks to our callers tonight, Ron in Pennsylvania, Leo in Massachusetts. Leo, you work on that bumper sticker and see what you come up with. Give it a little bit of thought. I know you're searching for answers. Drew Raines was chat messaging me a little bit, and that reminds me, again, I want to make sure you tune in to two shows. I'm going to ask you to drift away from BBS Radio tomorrow and listen to Greg Evenson's Voices from the Heartland, where Drew Raines and I will be Greg's special guest on his final show at Republic Broadcasting. org, and that's at 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time or 10 to noon on the Pacific Coast. And also, again, I'll be sub or guest hosting, we'll say, for The American Awakening for Michael Herzog at oraclebroadcasting.com. And that's from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. 2 to 4 on the Pacific Coast. And it's just been a fantastic show tonight. I also want to give a shout-out to Karen, Bob and Bill, David, Zachariah, Crenshaw, Sheila, and I think Jill. I always seem to forget Jill. Thank you, folks, for listening in. I send my best to you. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible here on BBSRadio.com. Seth Hendrick on the sound. It was great tonight. Seth could hear all the callers. Everything was fantastic. Hope it was for you. Most of all, special thanks to you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Check out those two shows tomorrow. And we are going to... I'm getting a chat message here. From 1800 general mean time to 2000 general mean time will be heard also. He's given me, this is all over the world. we're being heard. Drew's show is heard all over the world as well. It was a pleasure hearing from so many in the military around this planet. And we want to wish you all a safe return back to the good old U.S. of A. when your tour of duty is up. So you, the listening audience, have a night filled with peace, love, and light. I look forward to having you tune in to those two shows tomorrow. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.